CliffCentral.com.
All right. Well, there we go. That's nice. Bryan Adams in the at the height of his success. I mean, he's, you know, the guy's done damn well, actually. He wrote a bunch of really terrific songs, but I haven't thought of him for ages. And then Gord mentioned him, and Gord mentioned how he thought he was in heaven when he saw his concert, the first concert he'd ever seen. And then Sia told us his first concert was Enrique Iglesias, which is exactly the opposite of heaven. You don't. you liked Enrique, huh?
For my aunt and I, it was.
Okay, I believe you. Ah, so much to talk about this morning. So what happened with that that panty saga in Port Elizabeth? Remember where there was that factory or business where that woman said all the other women have to strip and showed that they weren't on their periods because she'd found a mess in one of the bathrooms. I mean, what a disgusting story. Have they updated us on that?
Jeez, yeah. So it's now official that
of all the things to think about at this time of the morning, that was the one I thought about. How do you like that?
Well, isn't it just such a visual thing as well? You're just thinking about how it
also
happened.
We know we're living in this country at the moment. We're living in a world at the moment where people are overreacting to everything. Have we discovered anything that makes it sound more sensible and less emotional and reactionary?
Well, maybe we will, since now four cases of, is it crime in Nigeria?
Crime in Nigeria.
Have been open and will be investigated. This is what the police have now confirmed, since it's defined in South Africa as an act of unlawfully, intentionally, and seriously impairing the dignity of another. That's what they're fighting for right now. It's confirmed that the manageress has been fired after this whole ordeal.
And she was related to the owner or something?
Yeah, yeah. and in true EFF form as well. So this is a protest that continued at the JA Floral Distributors offices on Monday. Four EFF members were arrested on Monday after charging into a group. And they were like just being disorderly outside of the offices. So the cops actually even had to arrest EFF members. But let's see what happens. It's all still right. Just, look, a horrible, horrible situation.
Yeah, it sounds messy. So we'll talk to the dude who wrestled that would-be kidnapper to the ground in Johannesburg last week, the video that's been going viral, but there's been lots of other interesting stuff. I saw a video yesterday of a guy who was at a protest in one of those cities in the West Coast, Portland or Seattle or one of them. It could even have been L.A. And the guy is busy like trying to climb onto a police car. And then the police car drives away, and this guy hits the tarmac seriously hard. I mean, he's alive. But if you get in the way of a police car and they run you down, it's really your fault.
I mean, that's not protesting. That's amateur testing right there.
It's, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, correct. I like that. That's very good.
So I get a little conflicted in these times and on the issue of protesting. I'm of two minds. The first is I get when people say there'll never be a good time to protest and there'll never be, you know, protesting will never be palatable to everyone where it's nice and sure, go ahead and do it. I get that. But when it comes to effective protest and you look at protest over the years and in our history, all of these things were well thought out. All of these things, there was strategy to it. There was a plan in place.
Yeah.
You know, the likes of, you know, Congressman John Lewis, I think of him as well, just because he recently passed.
He did the famous lunch counter protests, right?
Exactly that. They didn't just think, oh yeah, let's go to Wimpy today and let's sit because we are not allowed at Wimpy. No, they thought about what is effective. How do we show our humanity? How do we show our dignity? Well, actually, then let's go into these places where we are not allowed. And you know,
Rosa Parks, who said, I'm not going to sit in the back of the bus.
But also, Rosa Parks just didn't decide that on her own on one random day. I think that's what now we've been led to believe. Rosa Parks was part of a long-term strategy where there were the sit-ins and there were the freedom riders. Mm-hmm. And then it was almost a cherry on top as a powerful act on its own. Right now, you know, EFF, okay, yeah, so you go to these JA florals and look at you now being the ones being arrested, and you sort of, I think, devalue your impact in something like that.
Well,
and now people are following police cars. And,
you know, let's be reasonable for a second here, because we don't want to get too political this time of the morning, and I'm having a nice day, and politics tends to ruin my day.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
Okay.
But a lot of these protests are also just because people are tired of being stuck in their houses. Let's be perfectly honest with each other. The reality is there are a lot of people in their 20s and 30s who are extremely frustrated. And in America, there are not a lot of jobs going. In the world at the moment, there are not a lot of jobs going. And many of the people in that age bracket have been fired from their jobs because the economies have tanked. These people have been stuck. A lot of millennials and Gen Z people live in their parents' houses, and they've been cooped up with their parents for months. You know what happens to them. They lose their fucking minds, and they just want to get out and do something. So many of them are joining these protests just because it's something social to do. You can't go to the concerts we were talking about a minute ago. You can't go to festivals. You can't go to clubs and bars. You can't meet other people. So the only place you can go, because the government seems to have a light touch about these things, is peaceful protests, in inverted commas. So politics has now become a bit of a recreational activity for people. And that's very sad.
Well,
Because first of all, the protests is, you know, as Gord calls them, the protests are attracting amateurists. And these people end up hurting themselves, and they end up getting passionate about shit they don't even understand. I mean, if you quiz any of these people about what they actually are there to protest, they won't be able to tell you.
You could say the same about a lot of social issues. And I mean, I also don't really want to get into it, but I will say this, like, it's the same as people being dicks online. It's the same as protests. There's always a grain of merit in the actual issue, but there's no bigger weapon to give a dickhead than a good cause. No better weapon.
You know what was funny about that was you sped up because your internet buffered. And then you went, really?
No, I did that for real. That wasn't the internet.
That's how he was.
That's the quality vocal game that I bring to the GCS. Professionalism,
Gord,
right there.
Do you like having a beard?
Yeah. I actually never thought that I would. And I did it as a kind of, because I'd never done it and I was well into my 30s, my good friend Don Bryan, he's a beard man, and he always said to me, dude, you got to do it. And years ago I tried to do it, and after a month I was like, I hate this, it's super irritating, it's itchy, I hate it, I've tried it and I'm not going to do it. And he's like, no, dude, you've got to give it 3 months, maybe six. So I kind of promised him that I'd do it at least once, and I grew it, and then I kind of got attached to it. But then when it was done, I was like, cool, on my way out to a friend's birthday, I was like, okay, screw this, and I shaved it. And instantaneously, I saw my face and how potato-like it is, and I was like, this was a mistake. So I grew it back, and I've had it for about a year and a half since, and it got properly feral under lockdown. Like, I was getting my head shaved on a 2 every now and again because that was driving me mad, but not at all shaving my beard. And the listeners won't be able to see, but it was this big. It was like 5 to 6 centimeters off the sides of my face. Yeah. I looked homeless. And then they made it so you could get haircuts, and I was like, thank you, God. And then I could get a haircut, and I was like, I don't want to lose you, frizzy beard.
Gareth, you had such a genuine look of confusion as to why he grows a beard.
Yeah, I don't get beards at all. I'm happy for Gord that he likes. That's why I asked.
Can you grow one?
Yeah, I could, but it's going to take me a very long time.
But you are elven/vampire. You don't age or anything. I'm not sure you grow facial hair.
I do, but then it's also it's quite light in color, so it only shows up after like 3 months of growing. And
like you would McGregor Obi-Wan.
Probably. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. But
yeah, I'm also trying to suss that out.
I just don't like the feeling, man. I get into into bed or I get into the shower or whatever, and if I feel like, you know.
But look, each to their own, but this was a similar problem I had where it feels bloody terrible for a while and then it starts to not feel like
that. Don't tell me.
You be it.
There's nothing.
If you do it for 3 months, it won't feel like that anymore. No, but then it'll be about how it looks to you, not how it feels.
No, there's nothing better than that feeling of after you've shaved and your skin has got that sort of.
I hate shaving, and I especially hate how I feel after I shave. I've tried every kind of shaving, including professional shaves, every machine. Everyone's saying, oh, you're doing it wrong. Do it this way and that way. I shave before I go to bed because then if I need to be clean shaven the next morning, because then the next morning I'm clean shaven enough and I don't have red, stinging hell face.
Mm-hmm. Hell face.
Hell face.
And I know 40 people are going to text in and say, that's because you should do it this way. Trust me. I used to have an FHM grooming department next to my desk with free samples of everything and a lovely gay man and a lovely woman who were perfectly willing to give you any advice on grooming. And I just – my skin doesn't like to be shaved. End of story.
Yeah, but I honestly reckon some people look better with a beard.
What do you think? Honestly, you can't hurt my feelings. I mean, you've known me with and without. Do you have a preference?
No. I don't really care. I you can do whatever you want.
Thanks, Gareth.
No, I was curious about
connect.
I was curious about that you liked it. That's what interests me, and you clearly do.
It doesn't irritate me anymore, but I do get that it does for a month or two badly.
But you see, the thing with a beard as well, if it's really jarring, like was it last week or the week before when we had Gabriel Krauser on the birding platform? Jeez. I have to say, every time I looked at him, and he had legitimate, amazing points, every time I looked at him, I had to first process, oh, there's a mouth in the middle of all of that hair. And it is saying something. Oh, what is he saying now? Yes.
No, he has a monstrous beard. It's like a proper.
One of those that's just voluminous. It sticks forward.
Yeah, it's like, an Old Testament beard. You know the kind that I'm talking about? Yeah.
Where the mouth is actually just cut out of it. Like someone just took a warm knife, cut a mouth like into the beard.
Like the fake beards that they sell at dress-up shops.
Like
those
two hairy coconuts, and you do them like this to make them out. I just want to quickly say while I'm thinking of it, because I've got a text now from a friend telling me to stop wheezing into the microphone. That's Carl. Carl snores in the room with Gareth. It's not me doing a muttly breathe.
Come here, Carl.
Carl snores next to Gareth. It's not the fat. Blame it on the fat guy, yeah.
Listen, Carl is 10, hey? He's getting old.
He's getting old. Witch.
He's had a very
cantankerous 70-year-old.
Yeah. He's had a good life, though, old Carl.
No. Please, can we not talk about him in past tense? He's here. having a good life.
He's having a good life, Carl. There, make some noises into the microphone.
Are you still unable to quite see eye to eye with Carl, Gare?
He's got googly eyes. In fact, I did for a while.
His eyes are not in the same province.
I toyed with the idea of calling him Google for a while, just because his eyes are like, the two O's in the Google logo. But he also, whenever you pick him up or you talk to him, he gets this shocked look. He's not really shocked. It's just the way his eyes look. You know, like most of us, when we go like this, it's because when your eyes open really wide, it's because you're in fear or shock or surprise. With Carl, he always looks like that.
So it's not.
Did you guys hear that Apple made a whole event announcement last night?
I saw it was trending only because I was, I was busy typing up some stuff. And I hopped onto Twitter briefly because I thought maybe there's something relevant there. And I very quickly changed my mind. But I did see it was the number one trending issue last night. Well, what was it? Just said Apple event.
Yeah, plot twist for anyone who really cares. We aren't getting any updates on an iPhone just yet. But they did talk. I know. Isn't it all we want?
What? Say that again, Gord.
Could 2020 get any worse?
Maybe they might at a later stage talk about it, but last night was more about their Apple Watch and their focus on fitness. Mm-hmm. So they're focusing on making everyone lose weight, a healthy heart, staying happy, healthy, active, and motivated. So their new Apple Watch updates, that's the Watch Series 6. They say that it will be approximately 20% faster than the previous series. And they...
I was held back by that, by the speed of the previous series. 20% improvement in speed would change my life.
Now, Gord, as a fat person, are you at all excited by any of these announcements by Apple, or do you resent them?
They should call it the Apple Watch Your Weight. Yeah. No, I'm no more bothered by it than a new pair of running shoes that can make you win the Olympics better or look better when you don't exercise. It's the same thing. Like, super athletes will get benefit from this, and Sant and Sharons that want to look chic will have the nice new thing.
Yes,
but you don't care.
I mean, I don't get offended when I see barbells that I'm not using.
Yeah.
You know. So then just quickly, the Watch Series 6 will have a sensor that can measure the amount of oxygen in a user's blood, and blood oxygen saturation is a good measure of your respiratory health. So the Watch Series 6 will enable users to measure their blood oxygen levels every 15 seconds.
So basically, people can be reminded of how not healthy they are all the time. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I think Apple have just plateaued. They've just reached their most boring level of updates ever. Usually in September, they would announce new products and things. This is all they can do. I must tell you now, and I hope, you know, I know he's not going to care about me and he doesn't know who I am. I hope Tim Cook knows that as an Apple fan, someone who's ended up buying everything Apple over the last 10 years, I have never been more bored than by this update. This is the most this is the most boring thing. I would expect this from a Sansui or a Hisense or a, and I mean no disrespect to those products, but they didn't have the sexiness. They've never had the sexiness that Apple used to have back in the days when they were truly innovative. And I loathe to throw Samsung in here because I know Samsung and Apple are always at each other's throats. But as someone who likes technology and who enjoys using it every single day, I have never been more bored than I am right now by what Apple just announced and what Sia's told. And maybe Sia's a bad salesperson for Apple, but my...
No, I'm reading the specs as it is.
Boring. That is like going to sleep with a girl who is absolutely beautiful, and she says she's just going to lie there and you must do whatever you want.
Gareth, I highly doubt you're going to get
it. I hate it when that happens, Gareth. God damn, there's nothing worse than when a total belter just lies there and says, do whatever you want.
You know what I mean. When she's not going to do anything, she's not going to put any effort in, she's not even going to tell you she's enjoying it, she may as well be a blow-up doll. Apple
is that become, things that they do?
Apple has become, come on, I'm being figurative. Apple has become the most boring version of itself. I'm sorry, I don't think I'm overreacting here, but this is dreary beyond belief.
Gareth, I highly doubt you're going to get excited about the iPad updates. Apple
I
One,
which is the iPad update, because there's a thing that's got a practical use. As those get better, the drawing, Apple Pencil drawing technology improves. The rest of it's all just like a change in shape and a feature you don't need. But Apple has to keep products that people keep buying them, or else you can't keep the doctor away.
Nor do I think you're going to get excited about the Apple bundles. You can now buy your Apple TV, your Apple Music all together in different bundles.
You know what's happened? You know what's happened is the advertising and marketing people have taken over the innovations department. That's what's happened.
Do you think so? Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, about as much creativity going on here. I don't know what's happened, but the breakthrough thing, they're obviously employing people with low IQs now. Here's the deal, is if you take a pulse oximeter, which is the thing you're talking about that they're incorporating into the new watch, okay, you can buy a pulse oximeter for like less than 100 Rand, a cheap one, but it'll do the job. You're taking already existent technology and just incorporating it into your what used to be quite revolutionary watch, now that's fairly standard. That's all you're doing.
But Gareth,
you're taking another thing. It's like putting a compass in you. Who in the world got excited about the compass being put into the phone?
Look, I'm not player hating. Like, if people want one, cool. If people have a use for it, cool. I'm saying it's not a good enough reason for if I already had the previous one to buy the new one.
You why I'm upset, because they set the standard themselves. Apple, let's give them credit. I mean, for the last 10, 12 years, and even including last year, because I do think that there are elements of the new iPhone which are quite cool. The camera and so on. These kinds of things have made it exciting to be a product user of these products. And if you're gonna position yourself in that league and you're going to develop, you need to be sure that you can do it again next year. Otherwise, you're going to see your share price tank, and you're going to see people take a dim view of boring things like a pulse oximeter. Do me a favor.
They should incorporate like anti-load shedding technology, like you can power your house off the watch for 2 hours, or you can use it to light a room, or you can fry a small egg on the surface of it.
Yeah, all right. Let's just leave that alone. I'm over it. This really upset me. See, I thought it was something I wouldn't care about, but
Gareth. Hashtag
you're
triggered.
Underwhelmed.
All right. I want to talk to Dishal. Dishal Suku is a restaurant owner, and he is our guest this morning. You might not know the name, but I'll tell you who he is in case you are a little bit confused. So he is the guy who thwarted the attempted kidnapping at an eatery in Johannesburg last week. We've all seen the video. He was wearing a black shirt, and he like flew over the table. And I thought, we need to speak to this dude. So, Dishal, first of all, I know you're not looking for attention because they asked you to be on TV, and you said, look, you'd rather not. And I get that because people are going to be interested in you this week, and then suddenly next week they're not going to care anymore, and you can see that. I also love the fact that that there are people in our society who can fend for the younger and weaker members of South African society who are constantly victimized by criminals. First of all, congratulations, dude. It's nice to see you, and well done on what you did there. I don't want to make too much of a thing about it because otherwise you're going to get embarrassed, but really, what a hero you are.
Morning, guys, and thank you so much for having me on. Just thanks. Thanks again.
So listen, what happened? I mean, from your point of view, tell me in your own words.
So basically, we're sitting at my restaurant. My dad was there as well. Mm-hmm. And basically he said, look, just there's a guy suspicious there. Just have a look. I had a look. I saw him entering or running into the shopping center. Mm-hmm. And when I saw him running towards our restaurant is when I obviously was very alerted. And when he got to the railing and jumped over, I immediately got up because firstly I thought he wanted to steal a cell phone or a bag or something.
Right.
But in no way did we ever think he's going after this little girl. And when I saw him like run towards that little girl, I had to do something. And the first thing running through my mind was protect this little girl.
Jeez.
Yeah, well, you leapt to the child's defense. First of all, I saw that the mom, it must have been the mom, because you guys would have spoken afterwards, she was the one who like grabbed her kid, but you came over and you took this guy down. Have you got any martial arts training?
So look, I have years of jiu-jitsu training.
Awesome.
I also have my own school. So yeah, I think it was years of preparation for something like this. It's the first time that I've ever been in something like this as well.
Amazing.
I could immediately see that it was definitely jiu-jitsu. And I mean, I can't stress how much I believe in jiu-jitsu as something that women, children, everybody should just learn the basics of. And a lot of people have excuses. I train boxing because I can't train jiu-jitsu. My lower back just can't deal with it. But it's just such a practical, useful. I mean, you could see what belt do you have, if I may ask?
So I'm a black belt in jiu-jitsu. I get exactly what you're saying is that, you know, I could have gone in there, elbowed the guy, broken his face, broken his nose or something, but then the assault would have been against me after.
Yeah.
So, I mean, jiu-jitsu teaches you about controlling the situation by controlling the offender. So that was the only thing going through my mind is that if I can control him, it's easier for whoever was around, which was my dad and the mom, to take her away, which would work out in a much favorable way.
So you say you spotted this guy, or your dad spotted the guy, before anything even happened. And are you guys always on the lookout for this? Because, you know, when most of us go to a restaurant like yours and we sit down, the last thing we think about is that we're about to be in a confrontation, or we're going to have something stolen. Maybe people aren't observant. And, you know, in South Africa, if you're not observant at all, you're going to be victimized. But, you know, we go to restaurants to relax. We meet people there that we want to be with. We go for a nice meal. Are you guys constantly on the lookout? I mean, is this what goes on behind the scenes that we don't even know about?
So, look, just before he entered the restaurant, he hit onto a window or something. So, obviously, that made a noise. So, in that video, you will see everyone turns around to look. Uh-huh. But then he carries on walking into the restaurant. So, that's when, obviously, you know, people's guard went back down, because he wasn't hitting the window and then running towards us. But he was running into the restaurant. And one thing, my dad is always very aware of his surroundings. And
how long have you guys been at that particular place?
So for a very, very short while. It was probably weeks that we were there since that incident happened at the restaurant.
And, yeah. And tell me, because, again, like, it's frightening to any parent to imagine they'll be in a situation where someone's trying to snatch their kid. This guy was as high as a kite, right? I mean, there was video afterwards of him muttering while someone was filming on a cell phone. What was your interaction after the fact?
So during, obviously, our ordeal, it happened so quickly. There was no time to assess his state of mind. So, like I said, the only thing I had to do was restrain him.
Right.
Only once the security and the cops and the CPF got involved, it's when we obviously heard all that mumbling and stuff. But once they came, I stepped completely away, because I felt it was not my job, or it was not my part to get involved, you know, further than that. I did what I could.
No, you've done enough, man. But you haven't paid any attention to what might have happened to him afterwards? Have people informed you?
No. So someone told me that he had a court case or something yesterday morning.
Uh-huh.
But as far as that, I don't know anything else further,
Yeah, because he was talking about, like, the Nigerians and how, you know, you could tell that the guy was wired as hell. And then he was saying, no, he just needs money to get his next hit or whatever it was. Is it easier, Gord, you'll know as well, Deshell, obviously you've got, you know, you've got your own school for jiu-jitsu, but is it easier to subdue someone who is under the influence of drugs and alcohol, or is it harder?
Well, it's an interesting point I was going to bring up, is that Anthony Smith, who's a UFC fighter, last year had a home invader come into his house, and he's a championship contender. But, I mean, anyone who's even almost got into the UFC is going to be a hard person for an ordinary person to deal with, impossible for an ordinary person to deal with. So a home invader came into his house, and he was, I think, I stand to be corrected, but high on PCP, and it was Anthony Smith, being a world-class fighter, was just barely able to restrain the guy and keep him away so that the police could get there and stuff. So I've never personally dealt with a person off their tits on some sort of drugs, but I'm interested to know from you if this guy being really high made him stronger or anything like that.
Yeah, how hard was it to subdue him?
Okay, so look, he put on a real fight. So it wasn't that easy. You could feel he was strong. It wasn't just grab him around, take him down. You can see there was quite a match going on, obviously, between us. So I obviously had to have technique over strength. That's, at the end of the day, what mattered. I had to have my technique on point. So to take him down forward, get my legs wrapped around him, which we call them hooks. So I had to have all of that in, or else he would have gotten away. You know, I could feel he was pretty strong, and he wasn't a very small guy. He wasn't a small guy.
So in your opinion, if he hadn't have been high, if he'd just been ordinary sober, would he have been easier to restrain?
I can't even tell you that could have been.
Because you fight not high people all the time. But also, were you tempted, were you not at all tempted, or did you have to restrain yourself from putting on something that breaks something, like going to like an armbar or a heel hook, just ruining a joint to teach the guy a leg? Because that jiu-jitsu is a peaceful thing, but you can do that.
Yes, most definitely. I mean, that's all we're being taught, is that break wrists, break, you know, dislocate shoulders.
When necessary.
Yeah.
When necessary.
No, it takes an enormous amount of self-control on your part. That's to not actually hurt this motherfucker.
Yeah, because in that moment, you can just choose a limb and cancel it forever if you feel like it. You're a BJJ black belt on a crackhead. Like, you can literally just break what you want, and you just didn't. So that's because, I mean, you must, even though you trained, this is a real-life situation, and there's a kid's life at stake. I would find it very hard not to just crack whatever I'm holding.
Yeah, so look, I have a black belt in traditional jiu-jitsu, so I do BJJ as well. Mm-hmm. So to find that self-control is what defines you in a situation. I think it could be, like I said, it could have easily went to a thing where, right, now the assault is against me, I've broken something, and then here I am in court for doing something.
Yeah, well, listen, again, the state of mind that you had to be in to keep yourself calm and to see what was going on around you, to observe, to jump to that child's defense. Have you spoken a lot to the kids? I mean, to the mother of the kid?
Funny enough, I spoke to them on Monday. They came through to the restaurant and I got to speak to them. The child is doing okay. She doesn't have any physical, she's not hurt physically or anything. So she seems okay. But yeah, you can never know what a traumatic event such as this, you know, what are
the repercussions. Because this guy's arrest, what we know now is he's been charged with assault. Since it was reported that the girl was injured during the ordeal. So we don't know how much she was injured, but you say she's fine.
Yeah, so like I say, physically she's fine, but you never know.
You know, mentally also, I mean, what a frightening thing to happen to a kid, and how frightening. I mean, so many people were passing the video around just saying, listen, just be aware that, you know, you don't live in a world where there are only good people. And yeah, someone might want to. It's a very rare thing that this happens, which is probably why it's so shocking for so many people. But there are people who would try to do this.
Yeah. I mean, like it's like I said, you know, initially you're thinking petty theft, you know, like a cell phone or something, but never in a restaurant jumping over for a child. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I think that's what's the most shocking thing, you know, for everyone is that we live in a world where things like this can happen. So I always say love in awareness and not in paranoia.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a real credit. It's a real credit to the sport and the art of jiu-jitsu because, I mean, it goes to show that educated violence de-escalates a situation and keeps everyone safe as opposed to creates a new threat and makes everyone, you know, in danger.
Michelle, have any authorities got in contact and said to you, listen, thank you, well done, you know, local police or whoever? Because to my mind, you deserve like some national order for this, dude. A lot of people would say, including you, and I know I've heard you say this already in public, that you would do what anyone else would have done. So you're being humble. But my God, I mean, it is a moment of heroism.
Mm. Totally.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, like I say, we do what we can do in a situation. But the only people that have contacted me was the CPF, which was the community police. They were the only ones who kept coming in and out to make sure I was okay. But in terms of police, I haven't heard from anyone further than that, yeah.
I mean, not to be shady, but Begitel is at anything where there's press. To just be there for you, to be able to acknowledge you, I don't know. But I don't mean to kill the lily, but last point from my side is whenever I think our natural instinct for most of us is to see danger and run the opposite way. One of the things that I thought of when I watched the video was you ran so like straightforward towards the sky. He could have been carrying a knife, he could have had a gun, and you didn't even think about that, and you went towards it. So, geez, kudos, man.
No, thank you. Look, I mean, it was a huge risk on my side for what I did going towards her. Like I say, when he jumped over, he used both his hands. You could see he wasn't pointing a gun or running with a knife. So probably the risk factor was slightly less, but you never know. He could be carrying it in his pocket, in his socks or something, and I was willing to take that risk to
So, dude, let's give your restaurant a plug because maybe people want to go there, and that's a way of kind of celebrating the fact that there are still real heroes among us. I think so, anyway. So it's called what, Bella Napoli Italian Restaurant? That's in Florida, West Rand.
Yeah, that's right. It's at Goldman Crossing Shopping Center, and I'd like you guys to come through as well. Come have a beer. Come the chill, definitely.
Well, I'll come because I know I'm safe there. I mean,
yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like the safest place in Joburg.
I'll pull out my diamonds. I'll come drenched in jewels.
No, it's amazing.
And my grills, knowing.
Yeah, Dishal, well done, dude. I don't want to make too much of this, but I think it's worth making too much of it, frankly.
Yeah.
There are so few good stories, and you hear about nasty things that happen to people all the time. And occasionally when the good guys win, it's nice to celebrate that. So well done to you, and good luck to you and your dad with the restaurant.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
so
respect,
much.
Man.
Yeah. No, thanks, guys. Good thanks stuff. For having me on, and speak to you guys soon.
All right, my man. Good work.
Cheers, man.
Wow. I love that. Don't you love that? That's just so great.
What a legend. Yes. Yeah.
Dude.
And, like, not interested in credit, just there to kick people's asses as and when necessary in a gentle way.
You know, there's that.
So just in
yeah, go ahead.
What we do know now officially about the suspect is he's 24 years old. He's been arrested since the incident. As I said earlier, he was charged with assault, and the police have said they are still investigating, and it's unclear when or if further charges will be added.
But I hope they add the charge of attempted kidnapping. It's fairly clear that was what he was trying to do. I mean, when the good guys win, man. I get excited about this.
Drugs and stuff, like that story about the home invader that was barely able to be restrained by the proper MMA fighter. Like, just those situations where a person is completely out of their mind, like anything at all can happen.
Well, you see,
don't do drugs, kids.
But what I love is, like, Deschelle's one of those guys who you don't know not to fuck with him until it's time.
100%.
There's nothing worse. Everybody says that if – I'm trying to think of that line that Jordan Peterson put out there about, you know, being – weak is not being harmless. I think that the word he uses is harmless. Being harmless is not a good thing. A harmless person is not worthy of respect, and no one harmless ever did anything useful in society. Being dangerous and keeping it under control is the most important thing that you can do. Is you must learn to be dangerous. You must learn to be dangerous, but you must always keep it under control, because a dangerous man who holds back on the danger is someone who can protect other people.
100%. And that was exactly the example of that we saw now. So, yeah, it's good to know that there's people in the world. Also, I mean, there's people in the world who are trained and who can fight and who know how to restrain somebody, but will just not get involved if it's not their problem. And as a rule of thumb, that's the better outlook. But if someone else's kid's in danger and you just go and jiu-jitsu them like it ain't no thing, that's a real positive proof of needing to learn how to defend yourself, especially if you're a young person or a woman or something.
Got a question here from Tracy Lee on that issue. She says, which jiu-jitsu does Gord suggest? I'm looking for a school in Durban to start again after years of doing nothing except scuba. Okay.
I don't know the Durban circuit very well, but you probably want to look for something that's Gracie Barra Jiu-Jitsu affiliated. But I can find out very easily for you. I'll post Instagram the answer.
Does jiu-jitsu or any form of, like, you know, karate or judo help as well? They say it does, but I just want to know to what extent with your mind. Because, look, I'm not the biggest person, but I think I can, you know, pop you in the throat or something, pop you in the crotch. But I need to know.
CS says that he makes it sound so undangerous.
Yeah, and his little air punch that he did there to demonstrate was ferocious.
You know, I can pop you in the throat or the crotch, something, but my mind will still, in a moment of trauma or danger, say run, as opposed to no, actually defend yourself.
But
see, that's
a
what
point
I need
at which
to
you actually get past that. Like there's a moment, at least there was for me, where you're standing, because I wish I could do jiu-jitsu, but I do striking. So you're standing and facing someone better than you, and they're throwing at you, and you're completely not afraid. You still don't want to get hit, but you're not afraid. But to your point about if it's mental, I mean, there's a huge physical aspect, because all martial arts are very, like, hard work physically, but it's more of a mental thing than anything else. Mm-hmm. The reason I find boxing fun is because you're trying to master this really difficult, fun, technical, challenging art, and you almost don't notice, although you do, but you almost don't notice that you die exercise and getting the best workout ever. It's not just about the exercise, it's about learning a thing, and all martial arts are like that.
Deschal actually messaged me saying if people are looking for schools and what to research, you can add in Jikishan Jiu-Jitsu.
Okay. How do you even spell that?
Pronunciation.
How do you spell that, Sia? I mean, there's no way I'm going to get that right just based on the way you said it.
No, I think I got it quite phonetically correct. Jikishan, J-I-K-I-S-H-A-N, Jiu-Jitsu.
Of course, Sia wants to pop you in your crotch, says Chris.
Oh, okay.
I wish you could see his action for popping the crotch. It's like, it was like a hand job, except not up and down. It was forward and back.
I have these repetitive dreams where I'm fighting with people, but I just can't take them down.
Do you have no power in your punches, or is it that you can't get a hold of them?
No, it's that I have no power in my punches. It's the most frustrating dream, and it recurs all the time.
I said one where you can't run properly fast, like your legs are just going so slowly. They say that there's meaning behind those dreams. I used to have the one where you can't run properly or you can't go fast. I also used to have one where I could fly, but very, very slowly.
Oh, no.
So if people were after me and I'm like, yes, take flight. And then you're barely getting out of their reach. My buddy Shane always loves those most pointless superpower things, and I don't know. There were a lot of good ones, but the one that stands out in my mind for the most pointless superpower is the power of flight while in a plane.
What?
Imagine if you were in the Marvel universe here.
Was your power.
And everybody else had powers like ultimate strength or the ability to shoot lasers out of their eyes or whatever. And your power,
right.
The only power you had was the ability to fly, but only while you were in a plane.
Or being seventh bulletproof.
God, that would be horrible.
That would have helped 50 Cent.
Seventh bulletproof. Or that you can travel forward in time 1 second.
No, it wouldn't be handy at all.
I'm glad you are not writing movies right now, Gordon.
Your one arm can go invisible.
Oh my god, that would be so frustrating. Jesus.
How your mind even processes and thinks about these things.
I didn't come up with those. Those are memes.
The power to grow a new tooth over 7 years. Terrible. Oh my god. Such shit.
There's some goodies out there.
Hey, guys, a really good school in Durban is Carlson Gracie, previously called Lion's Den. I think it's in Berea, and that's a useful tip from Sergio. Thank you, Sergio. So if you want to go and do some jiu-jitsu. I've always marveled at people who do these things, but I've never done it myself.
Would you ever consider doing it?
I think I'm past being useful in that situation. But that,
I have some sort of memory of you boxing? Is it a boxer size class maybe? But I'm sure I've seen you.
No, it's just from that dream where I can't punch.
It was just that dream. Right. I remember. Yeah.
No, I wish I had, but I think maybe it's just it's a thing that I always will have a fantasy about doing, but never will do.
Do the basics, whatever's interesting to you, like boxing, Muay Thai, karate, jiu-jitsu, whatever you like the look of.
Please.
Just go learn the basics. Do it for 6 months.
Karate. It just sounds so much better.
Karate. Yeah. Anyway, whatever you like the look of, just go and do it for like 6 months and learn the basics so that you've got the absolute basics, because if you've done 6 months of the basics of any legit martial arts, you're going to be in a good position to defend yourself against any person who hasn't got a weapon that hasn't done any martial arts. Once you're up against other people that have also done martial arts, which is a tiny percentage of the population, then you're in the pool and the size of a bigger fish will come and eat you easily. But the other 99% of the population who haven't trained martial arts,
you can take them down.
You're at a distinct advantage from them just for doing 6 to 12 months, once or twice a week, and learning the simple shit that people don't know. And you feel more confident about yourself. I mean, no, by no means a badass, but I can block a punch and throw one, and so I feel safer, and that's a good feeling.
I don't know why my back is sore just talking about this.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I mean, I don't know if Muay Thai is going to be for you.
I don't know.
I don't see you in those Muay Thai shorts with the thing around your head.
No. You know, sometimes
in the arena in Thailand where there's dogs running around.
No, sometimes when it's just a little too windy and, you know, you face a bit of resistance as you're trying to shut a door, even that is an ordeal for me. So I don't know.
That is the perfect explanation of your punch move. I was trying to describe your air punch. It's the action of someone air closing the door. That's how Sierra punches.
I sent Gord a voice note the other day.
It wasn't a podcast?
No, it wasn't. I always send short voice notes, but he sent a podcast back, obviously. But here's my voice note. See if you can make any sense.
I give value.
See if you can make any sense of this, I think, quite brilliant voice note that I sent to Gord. All right, are you ready?
Bantaputu.
That's all I said.
And we got it. I went off in a tirade about how much I hate Jar Jar Binks. And you were like, that's Jabba. I'm like, I know it's Jabba, but Star Wars voices makes me think of Jar Jar and it ruined Star Wars for me.
It's nothing. It's not even English here, so don't try to interpret it. It's if you
know. Manta Putu.
Thanks, because I was already lost.
Oh, Mr. Jar Jar Binks. Mr. Moi Moi Bumbag. Moi Moi Dick Face. Fucking machine gun that fucking
fuck.
That thing and everyone that got...
Listen, while we're being nerdy, we've been nerdy pretty much all morning, but listen to
the
this.
The Mandalorian.
No, dude. The Mandalorian, yes, sure, fine, cool, brilliant, excellent, very exciting. But Dune.
Yeah. Okay. I've got to read the book before the thing comes
so
out.
So there's this movie. It was part of a serialized comic book. I don't know the exact origins of it. I'm not that much of a Dune nerd. But I remember when I was a kid, Dune was the coolest sci-fi story ever. It was about this, all these planets that are ruled by these serious badasses, and they've got powers, and they're mining spice, and everyone's addicted to the spice. And there's this seriously cool family called the Atreides family, and then there are these badasses called the Harkonnens. And it's a I cannot give you all the detail because I don't know all of it. But Dune is coming out this year, 2020, and they put out the trailer.
Is it a series or a movie?
No, it's a movie. It's a full-on movie.
Because I saw the trailer and then only afterwards went, wait, was that a movie or a series? But I'm determined to read the books because I've seen the old movies. I played the video game. Lots of my friends are into it, and I have a sort of idea what it's about, but it's not based on the books.
No,
I'm going to go to the source material before I allow myself to watch
it. Yeah, I'm going to have to do some work myself so that I don't enter it as a complete novice. But it looks like it's been just put together beautifully. It's some French director. And
Denis Villeneuve.
French director. It's going to be visually enticing, if nothing else.
And some great cast. I see that Stellan Skarsgård is playing the badass.
Anyone Skarsgård's going to be cool in the things. They're all great.
The whole Skarsgård crew, they're just
Who's the sexy tall one from True Blood? Alexander.
Alexander.
Ooh. Yeah, Alexander. Oh, God, how so would. He's so hot.
Well, Stellan is the guy. What did he play recently?
I hated Bill. I wanted him to win.
Who was – who? What?
It.
Was he in It?
Which one of them played It?
I don't know.
Mamma Mia and Good Will Hunting, Chernobyl,
and then,
4.
Who's
Chernobyl,
the one that
that's
plays
where
Loki
I
guess.
I watched him. I watched him recently in that series, Chernobyl. Fuck, he was good. So Stellan Skarsgård.
These guys are like Baldwins.
Mm, they're great. They're awesome people. And then who's the kid? He plays Paul Atreides.
Timothy Chalamet.
That's it. I can never remember if it's Chalamet or Chalamet or whatever his name is. But he's... he's the hero of the story, and he's really like that guy is on a massive wild tear in Hollywood at the moment in terms of getting just great roles, and everybody loves him.
Never even heard of him. Teenager. Kid.
He's like probably 20 now.
Okay.
So he's young, but he's really good. So
24.
But what if it properly 24. Sucks? Like so many book adaptations.
Well,
yes, they
if
can
it sucks,
screw up
it
a book.
What
in
are you
going to
do? Then what? Make some money and
yeah,
go and make a new movie.
Book. Yeah. You've still got the book. That's what people also sometimes don't realize. Like, I'm a huge Dark Tower fan, and the Dark Tower movie was not only bad, but it was actually in no way a remake of the books. But it's just like vaguely set along similar themes. But I was like, look, that's a piece of dog shit, but it's not as if it suddenly went back in time and fucked the books up. Like, you know, as long as you don't watch the bad movie or the bad series first, that's why I'm I'm about to read The Shining again, so I can read Doctor Strange, so I can watch that movie, and I'm also going to read Dune. This is why I didn't watch the Harry Potter movies until 3 years ago, because I wanted to finish the books first. And my God, can you see how they improved from totally shit to not too bad over the course of those movies? Also, everyone's apparently upset with J.K. Rowling, and it's gender politics, so I don't want to get into it. But I'm like, what happens now to, including a friends of mine in question, that have got literal Harry Potter tattoos because they love Harry Potter so much, that now have to hate J.K. Rowling?
Well, good luck to them.
All right, we discussed
it. Those are precisely the kind of morons who deserve a dilemma like that. That's all I have to say.
And on that, upbeat and positive. Whoops.
Have a happy day, everybody. We will see you tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, bright and early. Have an excellent day. Thank you, Gordo. Thank you, Sia. We'll check in on you tomorrow. And let us know if you've got anything in your mind, 0797482090. You can also email me, Gareth@cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.